You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God's not letting you walk away of your own choosing. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. But I ain't going to beg and plead. Some of you got that man in your life. I ain't letting you go nowhere, baby. I'll kill you before I let you go. And you go, oh, he just loved me. All right, let's prepare to move. Tell somebody we got to prepare to move. Moving is the most frustrating thing in your life. You ever move to a new house? Yeah. You see those people on Facebook, they get new houses, settlements all done, and they standing there posing with Pastor Aaron, and he's smiling because, you know, his job's done, and they smiling because they don't know. Now I got to go home and pack stuff that I really don't need. I got to take people that I really don't want to take. I'd like to leave you at the old house. Now comes the work, the easy part. The easy part is the hunting. Get the realtor. The realtor takes you around. They pretty much know what you can afford. The banker works with you. You know, that's a process from hell. The underwriting process, you know, if you can survive the underwriting process, there ain't a devil out of hell that can cause you to leave God. And so when all of that is done, now you go about the arduous task of going over to U-Haul and buying 750 boxes. 2,000 rolls of tape, and then you make the mistake of getting a pickup truck and trusting the saints to help you move. You ask them on Sunday when the spirit is high, hey, brothers, I'm moving next week. I'll help you. No one lies in the presence of the Lord or like Ananias and Sapphira, you die. But by Thursday, they've forgotten it. They got a new attitude. Oh, I can't make it. My cat died. The refrigerator is broke. No, the ice box is broken. And so now you got to go about the task of finding people to help you move. And then when these people help you move, say you do get a couple of good Christians to help you. You got about five or six good Christians to help you. They come in and they bring all your stuff in. They sit it right in the middle of the floor in the room where it doesn't belong. And then they turn and say, God bless you, nice house. You can't find the grits. You can't find the spoon to stir the grits. Everybody, for the next 2 weeks, you're eating out of McDonald's because everything is in disarray. Moving represents disarray. Chances are at the end of the moving day, you're going to be sleeping. Your mattress is just going to be on the floor. And you're going to just lay down because you're whipped. And then most people don't even take the next day off. They just get up and go to work, and you think you're going to go to work. You can't find anything to wear. It's all packed away. Why? Moving is supposed to be uncomfortable. But the long-term joy is that I know if I stay with it and do a little bit every day and come in and unpack one room at a time, at the end of 2-3 weeks, my house is going to look good, and I'm going to have compliments over what used to be a mess. Jesus is saying, let's go to the other side. It is not comfortable for you to leave what's familiar. You've become accustomed to doing the same thing the same way. God is saying, now it's time to move to a different place. It's time for you to see me differently. I've been doing stuff in your life for years, and now here comes the first significant bump in the road, and you can't handle it. All these years, you've had your own way, and then God raised up a new Pharaoh, and you can't handle it. That means all that other talk was just lip service. And so what you'll do, because the move is so uncomfortable, and the people are so disingenuous, that you will pout. And this is how Christians pout. They stop being involved. Well, they don't need me no more. I ain't playing the drums, Ross. You went out and got somebody else to play. I ain't playing. I know God sent me there to play those drums. Now you done went and got somebody else and put them in there. And when you do play, it's half-hearted. Then there's the pout that says, I done it before. Spirit of God says to Roz, go out and get so-and-so to come back on the praise team. Now, I ain't come back on there. I sang once before. What if God were to say, I ain't delivering you. I delivered you back then. Now, you just... Why are you asking me to come back and rehearse this? Those days are over. Don't you know that God will bring you back to the same thing? Because by the time you get back, you'll be a better servant. When I started pastoring, one of my mentors, Pastor Eric Ricks, over in Jersey, and we both came out from under Pastor Smith, and Pastor Smith, we heard that he was having some difficulty with some of the issues down at the church. And we also knew that the people who were staunch supporters were older or dying off, and he's pretty much in this wilderness without real support. So Pastor Ricks and I talked, and we went down to see him, and we said, you want us to come back? If you need somebody to sweep the floors or clean the bathrooms, we'll do it. I said, I'll close Bethel. I said, no, I'm a son first. I said, I'll come back and help. He said, no. He told Rick, Pastor Ricks and I, no. He says, you guys go ahead and continue to work. The Lord will handle things. But it broke our heart that people didn't want to serve. But we figured we could come back and we would be better servants because we had learned what we needed to learn in this position. By the time God sends you back to do the same thing, you ought to be a better worker. You should need to be motivated. You ought to be at prayer. If you ever get to a leadership role, your leadership responsibility is to be an example. Hear me. The days are gone when we sit back and tell people to follow me. You have to show them now. And so he says, let's go to the other side. Let me hear it. Let's go to the other side. So now, how do we get there? Well, first, the first casualty of forward movement is your thought process. People are not your enemies. Not if you're saved. They may make you their enemy, but they are not your enemy. The decision to make someone an enemy is the act of an immature mind. Whew. Lord, help me. How many of you in here have someone that you've determined is not for you, whose life's work is to hinder you? What do you call them? You can't say it in church. But you know what Jesus called them? Friend. Judas led the people down to where Jesus was praying. See, that's the one thing. Judas knew where he was praying, but he wasn't praying. See, a lot of us know where the power of God is, but we don't yield to it. And so Judas brought them down, and here's what he said. He said, the person that I kiss, that's the one. Grab him. He walks up and kisses Jesus. Jesus said, friend. You betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss? I'd rather you hit me. But with a kiss? Friend? You know what he taught us? That a friend is someone that helps you accomplish God's purpose in your life. Why did Jesus come? To die? None of the other 11 were going to get him to the cross. Had they had their way, they would have kept him here forever. Only Judas saw the value in Jesus dying. He saw 30 pieces of silver, but had he not died, you and I wouldn't have what we have. There are people in your life that God has placed there as your Judas. And as long as you isolate yourself in the protective cocoon of your own theology, you will never reach your true purpose. Pastoring Bethel is not my true purpose. It is the residue of my purpose. Being the presiding bishop of the Bethel Fellowship is not my purpose. It is the residue. Glory to God. Let me give it to you in a more simpler term. Sex is not the purpose for marriage. It is the residue. But the devil has you so convinced that in the absence of sex, you can't have a good marriage. No, the absence of sex means that there's no good marriage and no residue. It means that if the two of you are functioning as one, this is the residue of it. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You don't have to buy teddies. You don't have to get oil. You don't have to hang from the ceiling. You don't need all the take gymnastic lessons to become extremely liquid, because you understand it is the connection of the soul that has been connecting all week. All right, I gotta save that till October. That's why you can't come in here on Sunday and have a hallelujah praise when you haven't talked to God all week, when you haven't picked up this Bible one day, when you haven't laid before Him, when you haven't confessed your sins, when you haven't spent time in His presence. You can't walk in here and feel what some of us feel, because God is saying, I don't know who are you, where you been, but if you walked with Him during the storm, if you've held His hand during difficult times, if He has been your God when no one else stood with you, when you come into the house of God, you will come into His gates with thanksgiving. You will enter into His courts with praise. You won't need somebody to pump you up. You'll come in already pumped up. Time to move, Bethel. Time to move. What does this? The mind. The mind. It is not your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God and always goes back to God. The young man says, tell me, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He did not say love Him from the spirit. We go around, I just feel this in my spirit. We don't even know what a spirit is. Don't even know what it looks like. All Paul ever told you to do was walk in it. And he was alluding to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, here's what's happening. In Mark chapter 4, He said there was a sower who went out to sow. And what was he sowing? Seed. And Jesus goes on to describe four types of ground. There was nothing wrong with the sower, and there was nothing wrong with the seed. But in this audience today are four types of ground. And there are two things that reveal your ground type. I'm going to pass over the parabolic instruction and go right to the meaning. In verse 13, Jesus said, don't you understand this parable? And if you don't understand this parable, then how will you know any of the others? He never said that about anything else. In fact, this passage is the first time that we're exposed to parabolic teaching. What Mark writes here in opening up the parable. Remember, let's move on. You that's why you got to go to Bible school, so you can understand that just because it's written Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it wasn't written that way. It'll surprise you to know what the first gospel was, and the rest of them were pulled from that one. But you got to go to school and take the classes to catch up with me. He said, the sower soweth what? Verse 14. The word. So that means anyone who stands before you and proclaims the word of God is sowing seed, whether it's in Sunday worship, Wednesday Bible study, Sunday school, or weekly classes. The seed is the word. Hear me carefully. You are not responsible for the sower, and nor are you responsible for the seed. Those two things belong to God. The sower belongs to God, and the seed belongs to God. And there's nothing that you can do about either of those components. They belong to God. You are responsible for the preparation of the soil. Jesus goes on to describe them, and when you know it's you, just say amen in your heart. Don't say it out loud. I never want to embarrass anybody. And these are they that are sown by the wayside. When the word is sown, they hear it, but Satan comes immediately and takes it away from what was sown. And we're going to use the word mind instead of heart, because when we hear heart, we think of the muscle that pumps blood. So how does Satan take it away? Right now, what are you thinking? Oh, I got guests coming over Sunday for dinner. I forgot to take that chicken out the freezer. Let me text my daughter or my son, tell him, take that chicken out. Right in the middle of me preaching till my lungs collapse. You worried about chicken. I wonder if they're going to have Eggs Benedict down the street at Golden Corral. I like their Eggs Benedict while I'm preaching. Who is this person sitting next to me? Keep bumping my leg with theirs. They need to just move over a chair. I didn't ask these people to sit next to me anyway. Then you said, look at that person got purple hair. And I'm preaching till my lungs collapse here. They got purple hair. Satan has just snatched the word right out of your mind. So-and-so looking at me. What they looking at me for? I ain't never did nothing to them. Satan is snatching the word right out of your mind. Snatching it. Here, somebody could have done something years ago that offended you. You remember the Bible says that Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. And we've discussed this before, that the verb forgiving is middle voice. It means that when you forgive for you. You don't forgive for the person. Now, why is that necessary? Because a person could have offended you, and I mean really offended you, but you didn't forgive them. But watch this. God did. Now, God forgave them, and then he gave them a word for you. And this word is life-changing. But you can't receive it because you didn't forgive them. So you've been praying and asking God about a certain issue, and he sends that person to you. He's sitting there saying, I'm answering you. I'm answering you. And you say, well, I can't receive from them because of what they did to me. Satan is snatching the word. And that word that was sent by God will never find a place in your soil. This is why Jesus said you got to forgive everybody, because you never know where your deliverance is coming from. God is not always going to send people that you like with the message for you. Tell your neighbor, I forgive you. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that the enemy comes and he takes it away. How? By external situations. You can't move until your view moves. Let me use the analogy of the house again. At some point, you grow weary of where you're living. Maybe it's the neighborhood. Maybe it's the structure of the house. Maybe you've just run out of space. But something is prompting you to move. Once you make that decision, the next thing you have to do is find out what you can afford. I mean, it does no good to drive out to Villanova and Radnor and all those, you know, upscale places when you know that you might have Villanova faith, but Philadelphia money. Now, the Pentecostal prosperity movement is erroneous in this sense, for they will tell you to claim it. And here's what you do, because our minds aren't thinking correctly. You will claim the Villanova house. And God will try to stop you. This is the Lord when you claim stuff. You're claiming it. You handicap him. He'll come to you and say, no, you can't have that. The devil is a lie. The blood of Jesus is against you. I know God told me to claim it. So here's what God will do. He'll say, okay, you can have the house. But find the money to pay for it. Because I'm not in it. See, the prosperity movement tells you to claim the house, but they forget that you have to pay for what you claim. There's mortgage insurance, homeowners insurance, property taxes. I didn't claim all this. I just claimed the house. I didn't claim no school taxes. I don't have no kids in school. What the heck am I paying school taxes for? But you see, that's what happens when the devil comes and snatches the word. He puts foolishness in there.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 07319A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.